across our great nation. There's countless people make resolutions on different things they'd like to alter or change in their lives. Maybe it's some characteristic that they would like to change, or some habit they'd like to rid themselves of, or in some way they'd like to better their life. But it seems like it don't go too far into the day of January 1st to many, many of these resolutions have already begun to be broken. This does not mean necessarily that the desires may not be furnished the evening before. But it seems like it's kind of man's nature on making resolutions of this type to fall into the error of most mankind and to begin breaking them before the year is very far spent. And this thought kind of concerned me this night, but the main thing that concerned me was that I think we really need, as a people, to resolve to do certain things in our lives. And I believe that with the various things that are happening in our civilization today, across the face and breadth of our land, the various trying things of a very trying and depressing nature, some of them, and different things of this type, that there's ever a time that we really need to resolve to do certain things, and that is now, that we might together this year resolve to follow Jesus Christ more closely, and that we might keep this before our faith constantly, because we really need, as a people, to draw more closely to God and to Jesus Christ. We find in the Scriptures many invitations to come unto Jesus. Some of these invitations I want to present tonight because I feel they are important in our various lives that you and I might arrive at a reality of perhaps drawing closer to God. And I wouldn't say that we would have to make a vow to do it, because the Scripture very plainly says to make a vow and to break it, it would be better if you never made the vow to start with. However, if you made a vow and kept it, it would be a different thing. But some things I almost can hesitate to carry to the point where you make a vow to God if you'll do thus and thus, and then don't do it because it is kind of serious. But we should decide in our own lives, vow or no vow, resolve or whatever you want to call it, to serve Him this year, perhaps more closely than we did last year. That would be one of the desires of my heart. And it seems like maybe I'm like a lot of the other people. It don't seem like it takes very much in a new year to find out that things don't always work up to your expectations. And yet, you and I together, we know are human. But yet in this, we do have a source of strength to help us to do certain things and to do them better. And I really think we have a duty, not only to ourselves, but we have a duty to each member of this church. We have a duty to every person on the face of this land that we would come in contact with. And that is to be, as Paul said to Timothy of old, to be an example of the believers. And I believe we really need to be that. Our life should radiate the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would like to read now from John 6:35. Jesus said this, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now that is but one short verse, and I could choose more here, but this is all that I want to pinpoint tonight. First, there, I want us to think upon that Jesus is the bread of life. Other scripture says He is the way, the true, and the life, and different things of this nature. He is the life, our very spiritual sustenance. We this morning partook of the bread and wine in remembrance of Jesus Christ. And if we remember that blessing that's asked upon them, we really show unto our Heavenly Father that we're willing to keep the commandments of Jesus Christ and follow Him, that we might always have His Spirit to be with us. And here He says He is that bread of life. And that is that bread that you and I are to partake of. And he that cometh to me, it says, shall never hunger.
If we come unto Jesus Christ, we'll never hunger spiritually. If we follow him, and he that believes on him shall never thirst. And this belief is, like many people to the world thinks, just saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is. Now this is important, to believe that Jesus Christ is. But there is sufficient scriptures that would indicate that not alone we must believe that he is, but that we must follow him and keep his commandments. And some of these commandments we will enlarge upon tonight, and many others we may not even get to touch upon, because there are many. But the commandments of Jesus Christ should be foremost in our heart and mind this year to follow them, that our lives might become more enriched by doing this. And like I said, I want to bring some things out tonight, and some of these scriptures really indicate this, to come unto me, or come unto Jesus. And others actually have the word invitation, or invite, in them. And I would like to turn to one that really don't have that, but it's inferred, and that's in the Revelation, the third chapter, in the 20th verse, and some other verses in that area as well. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, if we go back in the first part of this, we would find that this is actually coming from Jesus Christ, even though it's not literally here, yet it is, when this was given to John the Revelator, because it says, these things saith the Amen, and this Amen is Jesus Christ. He is the faithful and true witness. And it also, he is the beginning of the creation of God, so it couldn't very well fit anybody else but Jesus Christ. Anyway, here he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and that don't matter who it is, if any man hear my voice and open the door, there is part of it. But how do you open that door? It's more than just open that door back there, that's for sure. We have to make an effort in our serving him, that's part of it. But he says, if we open that door, he says, I will come into him. There is a promise. And will sup with him, and he with me. So there already our life has become enriched. If we will knock at that door, and if we'll open the door, because if he's actually here to knock, but if we will open the door. And the 21st verse says, to him that overcometh. Now Jesus Christ says, come unto me. And not only coming unto him is important, but we must overcome. Overcome what? We must overcome the carnal man. We must overcome the lust of the flesh, the iniquity and evil that abounds in our land today. We must overcome such. He says, those that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now this is quite a promise again. Even as I also overcame, Jesus Christ overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now he overcame. And anything that he has commanded here, he says his commandments are not grievous, and yet man makes them that way. And wherein I don't follow him, I make them that way. And wherein you don't, you're making them that way. It's just complaining about anything. And so he overcame. He had the lust of the flesh placed before him. He had persecution. Yes, he had many things that was done unto him. He had temptation placed before him and all these things. And yet, he overcame. And he set an example for you and I to follow. And if we will but follow that example, then we will find that we too can overcome and have that promise of sitting on that throne. And then the next verse says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, we find John the Revelator speaking to seven different churches of Asia. We find that these things well apply to many of our conditions that exist today. We're well aware of that. And really, I could go on in these here chapters tonight, the first three chapters of Revelation, and spend the whole time. But this is the only part I want to touch upon tonight. But the other is reading that it is beneficial to each of us. And it's something that we should avail ourselves of. Because these things do show us certain things that we should do. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. In other words, pay attention. Don't take these things lightly. They were set for a purpose. And if you go back in the first part of this, he was speaking to a certain church here. And he says, I know thy works. Yes, just like he knows your works, and he knows my works. He knows every person's works upon the face of this earth, this time. In fact, he knows us so well that sometimes it's almost frightening when I think about it. Because no matter how good a man and wife might know each other, and there is supposed to be a special closeness there, because the scripture says it should be this way. And if it isn't this way, then we aren't even fulfilling that obligation. But even as close as a man and wife know each other, yet there are certain things that each mate really did not know completely about the opposite one. And yet Jesus Christ knows every intricate detail of man and wife, of children, of young people, of older people, no matter who it is. Of every male and female, he knows you. Just like he knew these people. He says, I know thy works. And he knows your works. He knows your lack of works as well. He says here, I know that you're neither hot nor cold. And because of this, they have actually become lukewarm. He says, I would that you were one or the other. And because you're lukewarm, he says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And then he goes on and gives the reason. Now this particular instance has, I think, actually more than the application that is used here. I think it's even intended to have a number of applications. But the prime one here says, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Now, we have, in our country today, those that would fit this right in detail. We have in our land today, those that feel that they have sufficient to live, but they really don't need the other people. And you know that. I mean, this is true. There's many because of the amount they earn, they feel that they're self-sufficient. And as far as worldly goods, perhaps they've outcome that way. But the sad thing is, when people become that way, they become self-reliant and instead of God-reliant. And this is sad. Because it doesn't matter how much you have, how much you know, you still must rely upon Jesus Christ and God, totally and completely. And really, when we might fall into this type of thing, and like I said, I think it has a greater application. It could even apply to some who are lifted up because of certain capabilities they may have or things like this that might make them fall again or think that they're self-sufficient. And I even happened to look up another application that is even a bit different, and I think it applies. And it's in, I want to turn to Isaiah 33 and just read the 8th verse. The highways lie waste. Now this, to me, is a future event that still has not taken place. And I can read quite a little bit here, but I chose this one verse. It says, the highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceases. A wayfarer is a man who is a traveler. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. And I kind of believe it kind of fits this other scripture there. For we actually have today those who fit that right to the left. Some of them are retired people. Some of them are other people. If they have sufficient, if they can travel over the face of this land, they really don't love the cities, and they regard it no man. And I've even found some that even have that attitude, kind of. If they just have enough of this world's goods, they don't have to worry. You can just go jump if you want to, you put it in modern language. And I don't want to get as modern as some languages. But anyway, nonetheless, in all this, I don't care what we may amass or what we may have, we must still remain reliant upon God. And that's what happened here to these people. They were increased with goods. And they said, well, you don't need anything. And knowest not that thou art wretched, he said, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked? Now, I'll tell you what, if Jesus Christ could stand among many peoples who feel that way upon the face of our land today and say this very thing, they would look at him with their mouth wide open, wouldn't they? Well, how come that we're poor and blind and naked? Well, we've got all we need. We've got all the clothes we need to wear. We really so to speak, we don't feel so miserable and wretched. And yet here it says they really were, because they were rich in worldly goods and not in the spiritual. And then he says, I counsel. Now this is advice from Jesus Christ. I counsel thee. And whosoever hears this or reads this in the scripture, let us apply it to our life. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And what is gold tried in the fire? The impurities are removed, and all that is left is the pure, untarnished gold. I want you to buy this gold, this tried in the fire gold. Or different things that may happen in our life today might place us in the same identical circumstance. That thou mayest be rich, not in worldly goods, and white raiment, because the things of the world can put spots upon one raiment. That thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. So these here who thought they were so self-reliant upon their self were really naked spiritually. They were clothed, yes, to the body that you and I look at. But don't you imagine if you tonight could see this so-called naked spirit, that it might be quite another sobering experience. Might it be? And here, one devoid of this clothing that the spirit must have. That thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And here those people, why, yeah, I can see, but not the spiritual insight that will cause you to be able to, when it's all done, to be able to sit on the throne of the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. As many as I love, I rebuke and chastise. I don't mean it. Even because we follow a certain type of life, even because we have certain moral attributes that would be considered admirable today. And I really believe I'm talking to a people that believe that are following that type of life. I believe that. But yet in all this, can we really say, as one of the writers, I believe in the book of Alma, can we say that we've done all? Have we really done it all? Have we accomplished everything? We can't really say that. I don't believe. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and I would like to use another passage of Scripture, and some people may think maybe I might be trying to use this quite extensively, because I've used it here before this year, and others have used it. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. But because of the invitation contained in it, I want to present it again tonight, because it applies so well with the rest of what I've chosen. It applies. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And now really, man and all of his desires on New Year's Eve to make certain resolutions that better his life, there's perhaps more to it than they realize. They must come unto Jesus Christ. And they can't find it in certain alcoholic beverages that the next day they may not even know where their head is or something like this. They can't find it in this type of thing. Really, this isn't the way. But here, Jesus Christ said to come unto him, all, it don't matter who it is, that labor and are heavy laden. And we have people in our nation today that are tossed hither and thither. We have people, young people. There is alcoholics that are in grade school. Now, this might sound crazy. 30 years ago, it would have been crazy, or 40. But today it isn't. It's real. And we need to take a good, healthy look at things like this. We have people that are literally tortured. We have many other things that are perplexing people across our nation today. And we have a responsibility of you and I, the belief that we have in Jesus Christ, of reaching out even unto such, by the type of life we live and giving what help we may be able to give in the way of assistance. Jesus Christ further said here to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So here this also, not to the way of the world, man constantly finds, or thinks he finds, pleasure in certain things of the world. But the really only true peace of mind is taking the yoke of Jesus Christ and learning of Him. Didn't He say here, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire? Learn of Him. And if we do this, He said, He's meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And really, I guess that passage of Scripture, at least to me, it never grows old. And it seems like I get some special insight in it about every time I read it. Because there is an invitation of a way of life that could really better what we could do this year. And we haven't even spent 2 days yet. There's still 363 to go. But look how fast last year went. We can't believe it. And I think that was even a week here, if I'm not mistaken. We even had an extra day of grace last year. We aren't going to have it this year, so we already got 1 day less. But we still got 363 to go. So let's use these, and let's use them wisely and efficiently. I would like to do some reading now from the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi, the 6th chapter, because I find many of these things likewise tie rather well with what I've been bringing out. This is found in the 6th chapter in the 99th through verses 103. And again, the invitation, come, my brethren, everyone that thirsteth, no matter who you are. Come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And yet we just read about a people who, because of their riches, thought they were self-sufficient. And yet all their riches couldn't buy this because it's greed. This spiritual food from which there's no hungering and this spiritual water from which there's no thirsting, it's free. It cannot be purchased with any monetary value that you could have today. You might be a billionaire, but you can't purchase eternal life. It has to be the way you live and the type of person you are if you're going to sit on that throne with Jesus Christ. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What a wonderful promise. And then the question, wherefore do not spend money for that which is of no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy? In Isaiah, it works out a little different. It was a question, and I was about to think I was reading Isaiah for a moment. But anyway, here, it just puts it a little different, but plainly. It says, why do you spend money for that which is of no worth? And today, is not that happening, actually? Nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy? And man today is literally wasting money. And many of them are over pleasurable traits or pursuances. And really, when it's all done, is it really satisfying? I'm not trying to say that man shouldn't have some joy and pleasure. If a thing called temperance certainly should be exercised with it. And there are certain things that they call pleasure that any God-fearing man certainly should not be a part of, that's for sure. But I'm talking about clean pleasure when I say it. If it's done in moderation, it would be all right. But yet man constantly is spending money for that which is of no worth, and his labor for that which cannot satisfy. He says, hearken diligently unto me, and remember the words which I have spoken, and come unto the Holy One of Israel. I hear having something else in your end, and that's the words. Even the words of Jesus Christ and God, and the writer's words that he was writing here, which were their words. And feast upon that which perisheth not, neither can be corrupted, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. We must feed our soul, we must clothe our soul, the same as the other. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God. Pray unto Him continually by day, and give thanks unto His holy name. By night. Now, these actually are wonderful words. There is your responsibility, thank you, in the attitude of prayer. And I don't believe I'm talking to people tonight that don't pray. But I could ask myself the question you should ask. Have I really prayed sufficient enough and humble enough? We could each ask ourselves this. Or fully enough? It's something we might analyze and think upon. Or even the attitude that I might entertain while I pray. Remember some scriptures that tells us, remember that our brother have aught against us, refer to our brother. And become reconciled to our brother, and then come and offer our offering before God. So there are certain things and certain others that we should do. I would like to turn over to the 13th chapter of this same 2 Nephi, 27 to about verse 30. It likewise ties with this, of certain responsibilities. Now this particular verse, the first one, came about after those who have been persuaded of the importance of entering into the gate, which is repentance and baptism, and then cometh a remission of their sins by fire and the Holy Ghost. And then it says, and now, my beloved brethren, a question. After you've gotten on this straight and narrow path, can you say, all is done? Because you've made that effort, and that effort is good, can you really say, all is done? Behold, I say unto you, no. For you know why you've come this far? Why? It's because of actually the word of Christ. That's why you need to come that far as God. With unshaken faith in Him. You must have that thing called faith. Relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Not man, not possessions, but upon Jesus Christ who is mighty to save. He is the one we must rely upon. Then it says, press forward. There is our responsibility. And perhaps with this brand new year here, we might think upon it. We have a responsibility of pressing forward and onward. And even after, we have that united responsibility. With a steadfastness in Christ, relying upon this person, upon Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Now you see the way this unfolds, certain things that are required of us. First, you could not have come even that far of deciding baptism without that faith in the words of Christ. And then it says this faith is important. And then it says, comes along hope. And then love, which oftentimes we have called charity. And didn't Paul say, now abide these three, faith, hope, and charity? The greatest of these is charity, or as Moroni so aptly put it, the pure love of Christ, which we've been commanded to pray for with all the energy of our heart. This might mean a thing this year that we can pray for more fervently, is this pure love of Jesus Christ in each of our lives. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And if you go down into the next chapter in the fourth verse, and I want to read it, it says, feast upon the words of Christ. And that feast is to partake fully of. For behold, the words of Christ will tell unto you all things what ye should do. So right there is the way of life. Didn't Jesus say, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire? That's exactly what he's talking about here. For these words of Jesus Christ will tell unto us all things what we should do. I'd like to turn over to Alma, the third chapter, verse 56 through all of down ways there. Now again, here is plain words, things that man should do. First it says, yea, woe unto all ye workers of iniquity. So no matter what it is, it's iniquity, it says, woe unto some. And then comes the invitation. Repent, repent. For the Lord God has spoken it. Behold, he sendeth an invitation to all men. And that's what I said this evening earlier. Come unto Jesus Christ, and then you find this invitation. He's inviting us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This invitation is here. For the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. So when any time things that are contrary to God enters our life, then comes the way, even after baptism, repent. It has to be. It comes before baptism. And any time man errs afterwards, it is the way back to repentance. Yea, come and partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and waters of life freely. If we partake of this fruit, then we can drink of the bread and waters of life freely. Then it tells about bringing forth works of righteousness. These are important in our life.
And if ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And if you're not the sheep of the good shepherd, it says, what fold are you? There is another fold. Exactly, that fold is the best. So we need to follow after Jesus Christ and God. Those who have, probably verse 6, I kind of skipped there. It says, those who have professed to know the ways of righteousness, don't fall off them. That's coming to them too. And there's some who feel that they haven't even had a shepherd calling after them. And yet the shepherd has called. And so there is the good shepherd. And that good shepherd is Jesus Christ. And he's the soul that we want to be a part of. He's the one that we want to follow. I'm using quite a bit in 2 Nephi tonight, but I want to turn over to the 11th chapter and the 110th verse. And again, the Lord hath commanded that men should not murder. And yet it seemed like our old year kind of ended with a bang, because it seemed like there was quite a bit of this thing in our pages of those who murder. And it said here that men should not murder. They should not lie. That they should not steal, and they should not take the name of the Lord their God in vain. I want you to notice these here things here, the responsibility of man, whoever they are. They should not envy. Now this again is involved. They should not have malice. They should not contend with one another. And malice is ill will. Man should not even have ill will toward his fellow beings. And they should not contend with one another or commit whoredom. And that they should do none of these things. And listen to this verse. For whosoever doeth them shall perish. And so that's why in Revelation it was so plain. I counsel thee to buy me gold by the fire. Put on this white ring. Put on these things. For whoso doeth them shall perish. For none of these iniquities come of the Lord. For he doeth that which is good among the children of men. And he doeth nothing save it be plain unto the children of men. And he inviteth them all to come unto him. Again, this invitation to partake of his goodness. And he says he denieth none that come unto him. It doesn't matter whether black or white or bond or free or male or female. And he remembereth the heathen and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. So really God. We're talking of a God who is no respecter of persons. None whatsoever. And this is very plainly said over here in 12 Nephi in verses about 75 through 78. And in this particular instance, we find Nephi speaking unto some of his brethren. And they kind of thought one day they might be better than the Gentiles. But let us see what he said. For behold, except ye, he told his brethren, shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. So really, what a tremendous responsibility we have, because we must keep the commandments of God, and he told them they must. And because of the words that have been spoken, you need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. And there has been scriptures that would indicate that if the Gentiles did not serve God, they could be swept off the face of the land. Even this land, the United States of America, they could be. But let's read further. But I say to you that as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many of the Jews as will not repent, they shall be cast off. Then it says the Lord covenant with none, they be them that repent and believe in his Son, who is the Holy One of Israel. So that's why I decided this evening to bring out a number of things that we try to point out that are important of following this Holy One of Israel. And Paul, in speaking to the Galatians, I would like to turn to that now in the third chapter, 27 through 29. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that promise, many years ago, was given. There is a way of becoming part, and that's keeping this matter of Jesus Christ. Then become an heir of that. In the 16th chapter of Acts, it's told of a people who repented after rather marvelous experience. And actually, if you want this whole story, it's found in the 16th verse to about verse 39, and I don't intend to read it all anyway. I just want to tell some of this story tonight, because we find in this instance there was a certain damsel, and she was possessed of a spirit of divination, and she was able to bring her master much gain through soothsaying or fortune telling. She could tell the future. But we find here Paul and Silas there, and there was others evidently, but anyway, this lady or woman followed them many days. And she knew that right there they had the way of salvation. And she kept following them and saying this, and after so long it says, Paul, being grieved, turned to her and said to this spirit that was in her, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out. And this here particular woman was healed of this immediately, because she no longer had this evil spirit of divination that made it possible for her to foretell the future. And we find that as soon as these here people that had used this poor soul for their own gain, they become pretty distressed when they found out that their gain was all gone, that they never had it, that their source of gain was gone. And so they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into this marketplace before the rulers. And they said, why, these men teach customs contrary to the Roman way of belief. And said, we can't follow what they're trying to tell us to do. And so they began tearing their clothes off, and they began beating upon them, and they put many stripes upon them, and treat them rather despitefully. And then they commanded that they should be put into an innermost prison. And at this commandment, where the jailer put them in the innermost prison and even fastened their feet in stocks. Now, many people under similar circumstances as this might have felt pretty low, but not Paul and Silas, for at midnight they began singing praises to God. It's a little different than many people might do. And shortly there was a great earthquake. And the foundation of that jail was really shaken up. And the doors were open, and every bondman's bonds were released. And the jailer, when he saw this, and the doors opened, he was ready to kill himself with a great sword, because he knew the commission that was given unto him to make sure that Paul and Silas would be secure. But they called out, do thyself no harm, for we're still here. And he got a light and went in where they were, and then all the lights were even destroyed. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul here says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. And then he spake the word of the Lord unto them.
And these people, because of this, that very hour of that night, or later in that day anyway, were baptized, he and all of his straightway, as a rather marvelous experience. And then he brought them meat to eat, or food to eat, and he rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. So we really have a duty of rejoicing before God. When we receive, there's so many things we actually receive, we can be a very thankful people. In fact, really, you and I are so fortunate that we really don't fully comprehend that unbelief. We have received many good things from God and Jesus Christ. Probably any more than maybe we are even worthy of. This is quite possible. They have given us these things. We should be a thankful people, but not only that, we should rejoice. That even like Paul and them did, they sang praises to God. There's a couple verses of a psalm I'd like to turn to. It's the fifth psalm. I'll find the verses shortly. Verses 11 and 12. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. So any, no matter who it is, who put their trust in God, rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. So really, we've got something pretty great, have we not? We could really shout for joy. Because thou defendest them, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So really, we've got a commission, have we not? For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. And I could go on and read psalm after psalm to this extent, which I won't do. With favor wilt thou comfort him as with a shield. His protecting hand can be about us. He can deliver us in time of need or trial or whatever it might be, because he is a great God who hears and answers prayer. I have one that Paul reads in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 that I would like to turn to. This was written in days of old. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him that loved him. According to this, we really can't fully comprehend of all that can be beneficial to us if we really love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, that these can be revealed by that way. For the Spirit searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. And so we find scripture here, it says that God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is why I'm kind of building up to this tonight, that in all of this we do have a physical body. We have certain responsibilities to our bodies, to our families, and all that. But also in this, we have a responsibility that isn't second to that other. It is still first. And that is a responsibility for our spiritual well-being, for our spiritual body. We have this responsibility. Because God is a Spirit, and if we're going to worship him, we have to do it in spirit and truth. And Paul told the Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And this is the way. And we find over in 1 John, a little further here, that very well goes along with it that I would like to turn to. This is the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now this is plain and should be really easy to understand. And his commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God that we do this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so the victory that will overcome the world is our faith. And our faith must never be dim. We must keep our faith bright by using it, by exercising it. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now there is a thing there that all too many stop. Well, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe everybody here in this room believes it. But also there's ample scriptures that indicates believes is action. Faith without works are dead. Be ye not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. You see, all this fits in detail, it fits in. And Jesus Christ said very plainly, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So when we pause here for just a moment, we can see that we do have a tremendous responsibility. We have a brand new year that God gave us. And I hope and pray together that each of us might utilize it fully, that our life might become more rich, that we might enjoy greater spiritual experiences together and individually. I know that last year, the last few months, sometimes there were some rather distressing things as I cried, and yet there were some very definite spiritual experiences that I will cherish, and these can be ours to enjoy. We aren't in a time that's going to have less distress and trial, because these things are about us. And man, in his so-called wisdom of the world, is becoming more unwise in the wisdom of God. So we need not follow the way of the world, because we have the written word. And as Jesus Christ said, peace upon his words. For the words of Christ will tell you all things that you should do.
Wednesday night will be prayer service. Turn to number 322. 322.
Yeah. The power of God's Spirit to go with us. And we ask that the name of Christ.